Up next, we have Sophie Minori-Uchimiya with the surface interactions of engineered fluorine and gold nanoparticles and the pyrogenic carbon components of agricultural soil.
Thank you very much for the introduction. Let me first introduce my course as Joe Pignatello and Jason White from Connecticut Agricultural Experimental Station. And I'm going to be presenting results from our NIFA project. And I'm going to focus on the nanogold and leave out the C60 due to the time limit. Engineered nanomaterials are entering the agricultural soils. It is directly applied to the soil as a part of the fertilizer and pesticides containing nanomaterials, either as active ingredients or as additives, like preservatives. And I'm showing here a couple of examples of commercially available agrochemicals claiming to contain engineered nanomaterials. The nanomaterials are also entering the soil as sludge and manure soil amendment. Now, at the same time, the pyrogenic carbon content of the soil is increasing by the increasing wildfire, which is a natural charring process in the environment, and also by the intentional soil amendment of biochar that I'm sure we have all heard about. Now, we all like to talk about pores in the biochar. So we have looked for pores, that is macropore, that's 50 pores larger than 50 nanometer in diameter by IUPAC definition. This is the size range of interest for the interaction with nanomaterials using TEM. And the scale bar in this image is 200 nanometer, but even when we zoom in, all we see is in this 700 picancial voucher made at 700 degrees Celsius, we see the amorphous carbon with the crystalline structure of calcium carbonate that is known to form at high pyrolysis temperature, but we did not see any macropores. And TEM is a two-dimensional method, but even when we used a 3D method, X-ray tomography in this paper that we published, we did not see any macropores. So instead of focusing on some pores that we did not see, we have decided to focus instead on the surface function group on the voucher, especially carboxylate, COOH, that is known to become enriched on the voucher between about 300 and 500 degrees Celsius. And the carboxylate on the voucher is responsible for the negatively charged surface of the voucher. The PDC of the voucher is around 3, so the pH the voucher is going to be negatively charged at most pH of our interest. Now, the nanomaterial that we are going to focus on is nanogold, which is also negatively charged. And nanogold is already a billion-dollar global market, and it is growing, especially in the sensor and medical industry. And the synthesis method that we use to produce nanogold is called Takabe's method. It's a very popular method, cited thousands of times. And what we do is we reduce the gold-3 using excess citrate to produce gold-1, which is a nanoparticle. And because of the excess citrate in the resulting nanogold product, the nanogold is negatively charged, even under acidic pH. But there is a great deal of debate in the literature about the surface speciation of the citrate molecules on the surface of gold. And this group from University of Utah talks about hydrogen bonding networks of the citrate capping agent on the surface of nanogold. So the citrate is not just fissolved. But this is more of a cartoon, so we and nobody have ever imaged the citrate capping agent on the nanogold. So we have decided to use TEM in collaboration with UT Austin, and we just submitted a paper on this study to visualize the citrate capping agent on the nanogold. So we can see the nanogold, that's about 50 nanometer in diameter, and we can clearly see the uniform and not patchy layer of citrate capping agent on the surface of nanogold. So let's try to understand how this citrate capping agent, which is a carboxylate, on the nanogold is going to influence the interaction of nanogold with the carboxyl surface function group on the voucher. So the experiment that we did to understand the interaction between nanogold and the voucher is simple in design and very similar to the sorption, desorption experiment that we conduct for pesticides and contaminants. But because we are dealing with particles and not a dissolved molecule, we are going to call this experiment retention-release experiment. So what we did was we incubate the nanogold with the solid voucher for a given amount of time, and at the sampling time, we measured the nanogold in the solution phase in the supernatant, and the amount of nanogold retained on the voucher was calculated by difference, and we of course ran the control experiments that told us the nanogold itself was stable and did not retain on the reactors. So here is a result showing the milligram nanogold per gram solid as a function of a pyrolysis temperature of the voucher going between 300 and 700 degrees Celsius. And we also conducted a reaction at different pH from 3 to 7. And the trend that we see is that the retention of nanogold on the voucher first decreased going from 300 to 500 degrees Celsius on the pecan shell pyrolysis, and then slightly increased afterwards up to 700 degrees. And this trend, temperature trend is proportional to an increase in aromaticity and a decrease in carboxyl content of the voucher. And at each pyrolysis temperature, we saw a greater retention of nanogold on voucher at lower pH. And finally, the retention of nanogold on the voucher was much higher than on sandy soil. To understand how tightly the nanogold is retained on the voucher, we conducted retention release isothermes. So we are looking at the milligram nanogold per gram solid as a function of solution phase concentration of nanogold in milligram per liter. So in the retention step, as we have just seen, we see a very little retention of nanogold on the soil, sandy soil, and for the 500 degrees voucher, and then it increases at 700 degrees and highest retention of nanogold on the lowest temperature, 300 degrees voucher. To conduct the release isotherm, we replaced the supernatant by DI water and measured the concentration in the solution phase, and as you can see, the retention is highly irreversible. Now, we conducted these retention release steps at low pH, pH 3, where the interaction between the gold and the carbon is most favorable. So we decided to include a subsequent release step at pH 7, where the interaction is much less favorable. But as you can see, even at the pH 7, where the interaction between the two reactants is less favorable, the retention is highly irreversible. To understand how, where on the voucher the nanoparticle is retained, we have decided to take the product that's the voucher after the reaction with nanogold and image it using TEM. And the scale is 200 nanometer, and we can see the voucher particle with the gold nanoparticle, the black dots. And it's clearly the gold is aggregated on the voucher around here. But if we zoom into the edges that is very enriched with reactive defect sites, we can see the alignment of gold nanoparticles along the sheet making up the voucher. And if we zoom in even further to this red square, what we see is that the citrate capping agent, the layer of citrate on the nanogold that we saw in the TEM before the reaction with voucher is still there. So the citrate capping agent is preserved after the reaction of nanogold with the voucher. So what's the mechanism? There must be a very strongly attractive forces between the negatively charged nanogold and the negatively charged surface of the voucher to overcome the charge repulsion that is expected to minimize the retention of nanogold on any hydroxyl-bearing surface of importance in the soil. And one very possible mechanism, especially for the 300 degrees voucher that has the highest retention capacity and also is enriched with carboxyl, is the hydrogen bonding between the carboxyls on the surface of the 300 degrees voucher and also the citrate layer on the nanogold. And Joe Pignatello and co-authors published a series of seminal papers on this low barrier surface hydrogen bonding that takes place when the pKa values of the two reactants overlap. In the case of nanogold and voucher, indeed the pKa of the carboxylates on the two reactants overlap. So for the low temperature voucher, 300 degrees, the hydrogen bonding is very likely mechanism, but far about for the 700 degrees voucher that has very little carboxyl left on it, but still was able to retain nanogold. And we can have some implications from the literature studying the interaction of nanogold with carbon nanotube. This is a very popular research area to make composites for the sensor applications. And in this TEM image from this reference from HS Nano, we can see the black dots of the gold nanoparticle on the outer surface of the carbon nanotubes. And according to the literature, this attractive interaction between the gold and the carbon results from the charge transfer between the polyaromatic sheets of the carbon and the conduction band of the nanogold. And we can expect similar kind of charge transfer mechanism between the aromatic sheets making up the 700 degrees voucher having the highest aromaticity and the nanogold that is going to add to the van der Waals attractive forces. So in conclusion, the voucher or pyrogenic carbon that we have in the soil is very much enriched with nanostructures, nanopores and nanocrystals that we can see using the TEM. This is the amorphous carbon and the beautiful crystalline structure of calcium carbonate. The voucher is also going to engage in nanoscale interaction with engineered nanomaterials that entering our soil by direct application. So the nanomaterials are emerging contaminant and in the case of nanogold, we have seen today that the nanogold is irreversibly retained on the surface of the voucher. Now, I didn't get to talk about C60 today, but for C60, we saw something very different result where the C60 was able to physically disintegrate the voucher particle to form voucher nanoparticles. So in conclusion, the engineered nanomaterial is going to change both the structure and the surface speciation of soil components, especially pyrogenic carbon that is expected to increase in the coming decades. And thank you very much for your attention.
So I read your abstract and I was really fascinated with the physical disintegration of the C60, which I know wasn't really your talk, but as you mentioned at the end, how does that happen? What's the mechanism?
We think it's a hydrophobic van der Waals type interaction.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't get to include that it is in this talk, but we are about to submit a paper on this, so, yeah.
And so we can start right back out in this room and at 10:30. Thank you very much.